Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." The Lord of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.
What is it that you are praising God for today? For yet another day to enjoy God's good creation? For the joys of family and friends? For the blessings of being part of this church? For God's provision that sustains you day by day? There are all kinds of reasons for us to praise God constantly. Perhaps some have experienced healing recently. Perhaps some have received an answer to prayer. What is your reason for praising God this day? Beyond that, let me ask you this. How is it that you are praising God? I mean, you're here in worship. That's a good start. But are you here in worship because you think it's what you're supposed to do? Because you've been taught that you're supposed to go to church on Sunday morning? Or are you here simply because you just have to praise God? Because you can't imagine being anywhere else. Because you couldn't imagine not worshiping God. Are you here because your heart is crying out, "Thank you, Jesus"? Our scripture reading for today shows two very different responses to Jesus from people who received the exact same thing from him. 10 men were cleansed from leprosy. One of them, when he saw that he had been made clean, returned to Jesus, praising God. The other 9 went along on their way. Luke 17:17. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they?" That's a good question, isn't it? Where are they? Where is everyone else? I wonder what Jesus was feeling when he asked that question. Maybe it's just me, but I can't help but sense a tinge of hurt in his voice. Did they not realize what Jesus had just done for them? Did they not care enough to go back and tell Jesus, "Thank you for healing them"? I wonder if Jesus was a bit angry at their lack of gratitude. I know I would be, wouldn't you? The way Jesus asked the question makes it clear that the other 9 had made a mistake in not returning. Jesus had told them to go and show themselves to the priest, but even if that's where the other 9 were at the end of this passage, even if they were doing exactly what Jesus told them to do, the question that Jesus posed about them not returning is clear evidence that they had somehow messed up. What a bunch of ingrates, those guys, all 9 of them. It's not like a little thank you would have killed them. It wouldn't have even taken all that much of their precious time. All they had to do was turn around, make a quick jog back to Jesus, yell, "Thanks for the healing," and then they could go on their merry way. Why couldn't they do that? When you understand the social and religious structure of their society, though, the 9 actually had a good excuse for not going back to Jesus. Well, it was an excuse anyway. I don't know how good it was, but there is an explanation. What you probably already know is that Samaritans and Jews at that time typically would not have anything to do with each other. Jews considered Samaritans to be both unclean and unholy. Samaritans were the descendants of Jews that had intermarried with non-Jews. The Samaritans worshipped the same God as the Jews, and they considered the books of Moses to be scripture, just as the Jews did. But the Samaritans, they didn't worship in Jerusalem at the temple. They had their own high places on top of the mountains that they went to. And they also worshipped other gods along with the God of Israel. That's why the Jews wouldn't have anything to do with them. But these 10 lepers, well, that's kind of a different story. Once someone was found to be a leper, they were cast out of town. They were cast out of the synagogue. They were cast out of society. A leper was not only unclean and unholy, but also dangerous. Their disease could be contagious. And so their holy law required that lepers stay away from other people. If someone began to get too near to a leper, they were required by law to yell out, "Unclean, unclean," so that the others would keep their distance. A scaly patch on the back of your hand, a sudden discoloration on the end of your nose, it could cost you your job, it could cost you your family, it could cost you your friends. No one wanted to be around you. A little shiny white spot on the thick of your thumb, and life as you know it is gone. Unclean. Outcast. Away. Off you go. Off with the other lepers. So it's not unusual that a Samaritan might be mixed in with Jews in this colony of lepers. After all of them were unclean. The Jewish lepers weren't going to become more unclean by mixing with a Samaritan leper. All of them were outcasts. All of them had nowhere else to go. No one else who would be near them. And so these outcasts, these lepers, they found society with one another. Regardless of where they had come from, they were all in the same boat now. But take away the leprosy, and all of that changes once again. Take away the leprosy, the one thing that they all had in common, the one thing that united them, and all of a sudden, the Jews were once again Jews, and the Samaritan was once again a Samaritan. Did you notice in that reading from Luke's gospel, Luke doesn't even mention the fact of the one leper being a Samaritan while he was a leper. It's not until after he is healed and comes back to thank Jesus that Luke tells us that fact. While he was still a leper, it didn't even matter that he was a Samaritan. He was unclean regardless. But now that fact matters. The law of Moses was very specific about what a person had to do in order to become clean after having been healed of leprosy. It wasn't just a matter of the leprosy going away. There were things that had to be done after the leprosy went away in order to be declared clean and be allowed to re-enter normal society. The instructions for that are all laid out in Leviticus chapter 14. So if you ever find yourself wondering what to do after you find yourself being cured of leprosy, read Leviticus 14. You'll know exactly what to do. It all starts out by going to the priests, being examined by the priest. And then there are two birds brought in, and one bird is sacrificed, and there's lots of blood, and then there's a ritual bath, and then camping in a tent for 7 days, and then shaving off all of a person's hair, including the eyebrows. I mean, these are very detailed instructions. And at the end of it all, the person is declared clean and can live in normal society again. But it all starts by going to the priest to be examined. And you can't go to the priest to be examined until the leprosy is gone. These instructions aren't about how to cure leprosy. They had no idea about that. It's just what to do to become clean after the leprosy is gone. The point of all of that is twofold. First of all, when Jesus told the 10 lepers, "Go show yourselves to the priests," he was demanding of them an act of faith. They couldn't go to the priests until the leprosy was gone. By saying, "Go and show yourselves to the priests," what Jesus was saying was that they could start making their way to the priests now, and by the time they got there, they would be clean. They didn't know how or why or what for. They just had to trust Jesus that it was so. And here's the amazing thing. They did. All 10 of them did believe. They all had faith. They all trusted Jesus. All 10 started out in faith, making their way to the priests. But the second point is this. Once they have been healed of their disease, the Jews now had something to do. They had somewhere to go. Leviticus 14 kicks in. They are now on task to do everything that the law required. But the Samaritan? Well, now is when it matters that he's a Samaritan. Where is he supposed to go? He can't go to the Jewish priests. He's a Samaritan. They'll have nothing to do with him. Even with the leprosy gone, they're never going to declare him clean, no matter how many birds he sacrifices or how many ritual baths he takes. The other 9 have somewhere to be, something to do. But the Samaritan, he is still an outcast. He's still on his own. But that's not what he is focused on. What he is focused on is what the other 9 are unable to focus on because they're too busy doing what the law and the society says they have to do next. What he's focused on is Jesus. He sees the miracle of what just happened. He sees the miracle of what Jesus just did, the miracle of who Jesus is. Jesus is the one who took his leprosy away. Jesus is the one who made him clean. He rushed back as soon as he saw he had been healed. He rushed back praising God. He rushed back to say, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. What miracles do we overlook day by day? What miracles do we take for granted? What miracles do we fail to celebrate because we get so focused on what we have to do next? How about the miracle of simply waking up in the morning? Do we take time to thank Jesus for that? Or are we already thinking ahead and stressing about what's on this day's agenda? How about the miracle of food and how it nourishes our bodies and how delightful it can be to eat and how much of it we have to enjoy? Do you ever start thinking about what's for dinner before you finish lunch? I do. I think about food a lot. When I was a kid and my family would gather together for the family meals, my grandfather always said the blessing before the meal. And I didn't always appreciate that. Because you see, Granddaddy's prayers were long. And there was all this great food in front of me and I was ready to eat. Come on, let's get to it. When the prayer becomes this religious obligation that we simply have to endure so that we can get on to the next thing, well, that's like the 9 who failed to come back to thank Jesus. They were going about their religious obligations, but they weren't being truly thankful. They weren't praising God. At the end of today's reading, in the last verse, it says Jesus told the one, the Samaritan, who had come back to thank him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." Your faith has made you well. All 10 of them had faith in Jesus. All 10 of them had called on Jesus. All 10 of them did what Jesus told them to do, trusting that they would be healed. And all 10 of them were healed. In fact, Luke says even more than that. He says as they went on their way, they were made clean. They didn't have to go through that religious rigmarole of Leviticus 14. Jesus did all of that for them. Jesus didn't just heal their leprosy. Jesus made them clean. But the other 9 missed out on something. The other 9 missed out on something that the Samaritan received. The other 9 missed out on Jesus. And they missed out on being made well. The Samaritan's faith is lifted up as greater than the others because he gave praise to God. He took the time to go back and to thank Jesus. The other nine just went on doing things the way that things had always been prescribed for them. The Samaritan gave praise to God, not by going through the motions or following some prescribed routine. He gave praise to God by recognizing Jesus, by thanking Jesus, by taking time for Jesus. He went back and he fell at Jesus' feet and he thanked him. And because of this, Jesus said, "Your faith has made you well." He was made well in a way that the other nine were not. Oh, they did receive their miracle. They were healed of their leprosy. They were even made clean. They probably went through all the requirements of the law and they were declared clean by the priests, but they still were not well. They were still not well because they missed out on Jesus. They missed out on time with Jesus. They missed out on relationship with Jesus. Quite possibly, they missed out on eternity with Jesus. And isn't that what really matters? Isn't time with Jesus what we should be truly thankful for? Isn't our relationship with Jesus what should really give us cause for praising God? Because no matter what our worldly conditions might be, whether our bodies are young or old, sick or healthy, Jesus offers to make us well. What that means goes far beyond physical healing. Jesus offers to make us well. He gives us the gift of faith. And by that grace, we can come into relationship with him. And by that relationship with him, we can spend eternity with him in glory and in peace and in perfect goodness and wholeness and joy. By God's grace in Jesus Christ, we are welcomed into a community of love that will surround us in love and acceptance forever. That is truly our cause for praise. I'm not sure why you're here this morning. You might be here because someone made you come. You might be here because that's just what we do on Sunday mornings. You might be here because you think coming to church on a regular basis will earn some favor for you from God. I don't know what brought you here today, but I do know this. If the main reason that you're here is because your religion tells you to be here, then you might be a little closer to the nine than to the one. The nine went to the priest because that's what their religion told them to do. The nine went to the priest because that's what they thought they were supposed to do, what they thought they had to do. That's how they were going to earn their blessing from God, by following the rules of their religion. Do you really think you can earn a blessing from God by following the rules of your religion? That's not how God works. God works by grace. Grace has nothing to do with following the rules or measuring up. Grace is about the power of Jesus Christ at work in our lives simply because of God's love. Grace is a gift of God offered to us in his Son. Grace can only be received by faith. The 10 lepers were not cleansed by their religion. They were cleansed by Jesus. That is where cleansing comes for us as well. All of them were cleansed by Jesus, but only one of them was made well. Only one of them was made whole. He was made whole by his faith, by his response of praise. Here's the difference between the one and the nine. The 10 lepers were cleansed of their leprosy as they were walking away from Jesus. 9 of them kept on walking. 1 of them found that he just could not walk away. His life had been changed. Jesus had given his life back. Jesus had restored his skin and probably also his job and his family and his place in the world. He just had to go back to Jesus. He had to return and give thanks and give praise. That's what faith is. Faith is being unable to stay away from Jesus, being compelled to always be praising God for Jesus. To be made well, to live well, is to always stay by Jesus. Christian life is a constant returning in praise and in thanks, in humility and in service, in gentleness and in mercy to the Lord who has saved you, to the Lord who has healed you, to the Lord who has made you well and made you whole. Healing and forgiveness always take us back to Jesus. Hope always takes us back to Jesus. Faith always takes us back to Jesus. When you have experienced the love and the power and the grace of Jesus Christ, you just can't stay away. Let that be the cause of our praise this day and every day. Amen. Oh God, thank you for your grace in Jesus Christ. Thank you for inviting us into your presence through him, through his sacrifice. And Lord, we give you our praise because of that grace, because of that life and that wholeness that he brings. We present ourselves to you. We offer ourselves to you, and we want to always stay with you. And we know, Lord, that you will always stay with us. And so we thank you and we praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.